the government coming? We need gasoline. With gasoline, you're going to bring food and gasoline and clothes? And gasoline to run generators. Bring us generators. Bring us something to get heat. We're going to die if we get killed with the weather. We're going to die. We're going to freeze. We have no cars. President Obama, please listen to us down here. We are going to die. You don't understand. You've got to get your trucks here on this corner.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
KatieArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the most affordable body armor, period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order, Katie offers soft armor and rifle threat-rated armor up to level 4. Go to KatieArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free tactical scarf for a limited time with any body armor package.
Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com. Today's guest is Bob Griswold of Ready Made Resources. Bob is our newest sponsor for the Prepper Recon podcast, so we're very grateful for that. Bob, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, and I'm glad to be advertised for Prepper Recon.
Thank you very much. When did you first get involved with prepping?
Well, it has been a lifestyle since I was a young boy. I grew up on Little Creek Amphibious Base, which is the home of Navy SEAL Team 2. My Cub Scout, Boy Scout, Masters were all of that like mindset. They were, you know, Navy SEALs, Marine Recon people. A lot of people don't understand that when you say it, because it's like my Boy Scout training was completely different than a lot of people's. But from the very, very beginning, I remember the importance that was placed on self-reliance and the ability to accomplish things by yourself if you're left alone to do it. Get it done. You know, the Marine Corps saying, improvise, overcome, adapt, get it done. So it started there, and I guess in earnest, you know, where I started Ready Made Resources 20 years ago in 1995 was shortly after Hurricane Andrew went through South Florida and had devastated it. You know, people started asking me, we were not that far south, but people still started asking me, you know, where'd you get this from? How come you could do that? You know, all these questions of why I had the gear I had. And, you know, I looked at the business opportunity of doing it, and it was a passion of mine to begin with, so I started Ready Made Resources then, and for the last 20 years, we have been running Ready Made Resources. For the last 17 years, we have lived on a pretty much self-reliant homestead.
Wow, that's a lot longer than most companies have been around in the preparedness industry. A lot of folks don't make it that long. I guess you've got a good business model.
Well, we try. We try to offer people, you know, good advice. That's the first thing we do is people can call. They don't have to feel like they have to buy something, so we don't try to make them feel like you've got to buy something if you call us. We want you to be able to call and ask questions so that you'll make good decisions when you do buy something. That you know, we've seen so much of this, what I would call survival junk out there, people buying things that are in name only, you know, a survival get home bag or a survival water filter or whatever it is, and then only to realize it's a piece of junk and you're not going to want to, you know, depend your life on it. And so they have to go out and buy it again. And I'd rather give people good counsel of what really works versus having them waste their money.
Bob, what do you see as the greatest potential threat to our way of life right now?
That is a very, very difficult question to answer, but first and foremost is we have abandoned the laws of God. I mean, the clear cut, no nation is going to do what we have done and survive. The 60 million children we have murdered, and let's put this in perspective of what 60 million children murdered just does, just in a physical realm. We have murdered the Social Security payers. We have murdered the future laborers. We have murdered the income taxpayers. We have murdered the people who are going to be the captains of industry. And so what that does is it makes a shortage of people. So we have to open our borders and flood everybody in. so that we can have the money still flowing into federal fund the government. And that's that. That in itself is just going to be that. That one thing will destroy us. Never mind the fact that there's the blood of 60 million children that has crying out from the ground. We have destroyed the sanctity of marriage. You know, we have turned. And I don't think people understand this as much. You will never find a society where entertainment is God. That is, and a society that is not in free fall decline. We have entertainment as our God. I mean, it just 24/7 entertain, and we'd find very little time for the Scripture, very little time for God, very little time for our relationships, but we find plenty of time for entertainment, and that's catastrophic. We have our finances are in total disarray. Nobody knows how much money we owe. Nobody knows the financial obligations we owe to future generations that we've already spent the money. Nobody knows if all the gold is gone. Nobody knows if the lumber, the water, and the natural resources of the United States have been pledged for our debt. We don't know those things. Those are all secret deals. We are a nation that is undone. And I'm afraid a lot of our countrymen do not see it, that we are standing on the precipice of impending doom. And we just continue to go along with the narcotic of entertainment, and just we're heading towards oblivion. I mean, it's multifaceted. It's not one thing. History portrays the picture very well.
So it's sort of this crumbling and perfect storm that you're describing.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm 59 years old. If when I first became a Christian at 16, I immediately became interested in eschatology. And, you know, a couple years into it, I'd studied a lot about it. But if someone had told me that the conditions of today were going to happen back when I was, say, 18, 20 years old, I'd have thought we were at the very, very end. Because, I mean, everything that can be destroyed that's righteous, good, holy has been or is being destroyed.
And we've often relied on God to protect us in this nation. In Isaiah, one of the crimes that Israel is cited with is murdering their children. And that not only removed the protection of God, it incurred his wrath. Do you think that we'd be looking at something like that possibly in the future?
Well, you know, the scripture, and I'm just throwing this out as an idea. I'm not making a theological statement. The scripture requires blood for blood. I mean, that's what in Genesis 9:6 it says, that if a man sheds one man's blood, by a man that man's blood is to be shed. You know, that blood is not supposed to be unrequited. You know, God holds us accountable for unrequited blood. And if we have murdered 60 million innocent children that we know of, what is the divine judgment for that unrequited blood? I mean, and very, very fearful.
You said that you didn't think that you would ever see this in America. Did you ever think you'd see the persecutions of Christians in America? Did you think that you would see the incarceration of Ken Davis? And at the same time, while you're talking about that, do you think we're going to look back on that event as an isolated incident, or was that the beginning of persecution?
Well, there's a phrase that I use. It's called the mathematics of God. Now, I've coined that phrase. I don't know if it's correct or not, but I'll call it that. You know, if you understand the nature of the scripture and you understand the nature of how God operates and works, yes, I expected it. If you forsake God and you start adhering to the teachings of man, persecution is a necessary outcome of that philosophy. So, yes, and I expect it to get worse. As it has all over the world, and as we see it today, I mean, Christians are being persecuted. So the answer to it is yes. Get ready. It is coming. Unless God grants us revival on a massive scale, we are going to face dramatic persecution in this country for our Christian beliefs. It is a certainty. If you understand the scripture, you understand the certainty of it.
And Do you think that part of the reason that we're in this situation where we've had abortion that's remained on the books for 42 years now, is that in some way the fault of the pastors that haven't spoken out to make sure that their congregations are not electing people that support such an unjust law?
Well, absolutely. You know, I hear people mention Dietrich Bonhoeffer all the time, and a lot of these so-called same pastors that you reference that refuse to say anything about the modern moral decay of America are some of the same pastors who extol the virtue of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. For those of you who don't know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer was, he was a pastor in Nazi Germany who stood up to the Führer, actually was involved in a plot to assassinate him, and was executed. The short story of it. But these pastors that extol these historical images of the past, but then cower when it comes time to stand up for anything, they have no backbone. And absolutely, the fault of it falls squarely on the church in America that we have not preached the gospel. We have taken on doctrines of demons. We have taken on the feel-good gospel. We have taken on anything but the Word of God. And we see it in the largest churches in America, you know, your best life now type thinking. It is not. We need to get back to biblical Christianity. If the church does this, if the church would humble itself and pray, which I don't think it will do, but if it did, we would see change in this country. But because the pastors have remained silent, the culture is being in a state of freefall decline.
And the church really prospered during the persecution when you look back to the book of Acts and things like that. Do you think that that could actually give us a type of revival persecution?
Well, it will give us a revival of the people who are on fire for God, because what it'll do is it'll separate. Mm. You're not going to be, you know, just a halfway Christian if it's going to cost you your job, imprisonment, or even possibly your life. You're not going to be that. You're going to have to jump in full or get out. So I think the separation will do good. The amalgamation of the philosophies of this world with the teachings of Scripture have always destroyed the teachings of Scripture. So, the persecution will have a beneficial effect. It'll purify, and it'll cause the real power of the Church of the Living God that's manifested by the Holy Spirit to come back into the church.
And while we're on the subject of persecution for faith, Marine Monifa Sterling was court-martialed for having a Bible verse on her desk. And we talked earlier about God being a protective force for America. If our troops aren't allowed to call on God, and they're not allowed to have Bible verses, and they're not allowed to, it's basically the policy now, if you're a Christian in the military, it's basically don't ask, don't tell. Would you be concerned for our troops now? Do you think that they've lost a lot of that protection from God because of those policies?
Well, you know, the divine favor of heaven, there is nothing in the universe that equals it. When God is for us, who can be against us? When God is not just not for us anymore, but is actively working against us because we have violated it. So it's more than just that he's not protecting us. He is actually causing the judgment to occur. We see it. I mean, I have traveled extensively throughout the Middle East, and I've studied Islam extensively, and it's not that all people of the Islamic faith are bad, but they do have a 1400-year history of violence, and we are just opening our borders to this, and we see it even happening in the United States, where they start taking over by numeric population. They impose Sharia law, which is absolutely polar opposite to a constitutional republic. So we see this judgment happening. We see we're quagmired in two wars we can't get out of. We see our borders violated. Our money is totally destroyed. We don't lend. We borrow. We have disease consumptions destroying our population. We have a population that is just hooked on food and entertainment. This is what, and I want to address this real quick. This is some of the things that I think some of my brothers missed with the blood moons issue, is that, the blood moons were just one of the signs in heaven, but it was not the end all of biblical prophecy. The Bible gives a prophetic package of things that would happen towards the end of the age, and it is so easy to get ensnared into this thing that there's going to be one huge event, and I don't believe that's going to be the case. We're going to be slowly boiled alive until we do not know what is good or evil anymore. The Bible says about Lot that his soul was vexed by the wicked deeds of the people in Sodom. And what that word vexed means is confused. Today we see confusion in the church and in our country. We see confusion over in the church concerning same-sex marriage, abortion. You just see a confusion about what is right and what is wrong. And so as a result, we just quagmire in this sea of apathy and compromise, and it brings destruction. So persecution, yes. Continual downfall of America, yes. I fear that our troops will experience, defeat, and I don't say that easily, but I do fear that. And I continue to see that this Islamic caliphate that's trying to overcome our republic is going to continue in full force, and that us and our children will pay the price for it.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
I don't know if it's ironically or coincidentally, but the Islamic Caliphate is geographically from the same area of the planet of the Babylonians and the Assyrians that God used to judge Israel for the same crimes that we're committing.
Yes, and again, that's what we're seeing today. So, we realize there's a problem. I would offer a few suggestions to people, and these might sound radical, but first, consider whether you still want to have Babylon come into your house via TV daily. We gave it up a while ago, but because even during the good programming, I'd sit down with my family, and inevitably, there would be some filthy commercial that comes on, in a time when our country needs us in prayer and effort, we're wasting our time with, some entertainment program. I would suggest people prayerfully consider if it's time to cut that link and use the time to read and to pray for a nation and to become productive, because obviously you might be watching the best program in the world, but it is non-productive time, and God tells us to redeem the time. That's one of the things I would suggest that people do. The second one, and this is a huge thing tied back to the persecution, is that knowing that persecution is going to come, we are going to need friends. We're going to need fellow believers that can hang together, that I can trust. And so now is the time that God, I think, is directing people to form networks of people, of good people. And I'm talking about good, outstanding Christian people, not lawless in any way. I mean, I'm not talking about rebels or anything like that. We're not going to change it through violence. I just want to make that really clear. But Christian people that I can rely on, that if something happens to me, we'll care for my wife and my family and vice versa, and that we can be praying for each other. And if they have a need, a physical need in the body, I can help meet it. If they have a need of food or medicine or whatever I can do, or even to the fact that if I'm good at woodworking and they're good at mechanics, that we can start swapping labor back and forth, that we can start to learn to do things outside the system. And I tell you, I think if you pray about that, that is what God is going to be telling people. It has worked throughout the 2,000 years of church history, that when persecution comes, God's people network. And if we can plan the networking and start to form those affiliations with brothers and sisters that we feel comfortable with, that we can pray together with, that we have common goals, I think it will help mitigate and offset the harshness of the persecution that is coming, because every joint supplies. When I have a need, they can supply. When he has a need, I can supply.
And we've been advocating that on the show for a while now, for folks to get involved in home fellowships. because that might be the only church that there is besides the, as you mentioned earlier, the Joel Osteen Best Life Now, the either asleep or apostate. But I guess at that point, they would all have to be apostate because they're going to have to rubber stamp whatever the government tells them. So at that point, they are apostate. And it may even become to where, the Bible's been rewritten and retranslated to some sanitized edition that the state approves. Now, what you're talking about as far as networking together, that also sounds sort of like something that you're talking about, like almost like an economic community as well. Can you envision a day when Christians would be restricted from participating in the marketplace?
Let's look at it this way. Let's look at what history is already showing us that is happening. So this cannot be refuted. The move towards a cashless society is ongoing, and there is tremendous force behind it to get rid of the little paper things we carry around in our wallet. That everything is worked off a debit card, a mark, or some other electronic form of finance. Once that happens, the government can then step in and say, well, Joe, you have purchased your 10 pounds of flour for the month. You can't purchase anymore. See how easy restriction would be at that point? Once you have to go through a computer to buy something, the government can then put all kinds of limits on what you can purchase and how you can purchase it, how often you can purchase it. And so then you become at the mercy of whatever the person who's controlling that computer dictates to it. And so if you do not have supplies and friends that can help you during those times, the pressure is going to be unbelievable. I'll tell you, one of the things about traveling, and it wasn't as a tourist, I asked this question, and please forgive me for asking it ahead of time. Fathers and mothers out there, I know the answer to this question because I've seen it. It's a dark part of human history when things go wrong. Mother, what would you do to feed your child? Father, what would you ask your wife and child to do to bring food into the house? Now, history shows us and tells us what will happen, and people sell their children. We can't even comprehend that in this country, but it happens all over the globe today. Right now, Christian people are being forced to feed their family and having to look at the possibility of compromise in order to feed them. And that includes, just read the history of World War II after Germany and Italy were defeated. Two highly evolved nations, they produce the best scientists, the best thinkers, the most beautiful art, philosophy. Everywhere human thought and progress could be demonstrated, Italy and Germany demonstrated those things. And yet, once the society had come under the judgment of God because it gave in to doctrine of demons, mothers were putting their children out on the street to bring home money. Fathers were sending their wives out into the street to bring home money. If you don't believe it, read it. It's in the history books. It's very sad. It's very difficult to ask that or to even make that comment. But now is the time, like I said, if we network now, if we start storing things now, if we start thinking about what the inevitable conclusion of our rebellion towards God's going to bring, now is the time we have, this time of relative peace when we can prepare.
And I heard you on Dave Hodges' show maybe a month or two ago, and you had just finished reading a book called Savage Continent.
That's where you can read those historical things. That I picked up,
and it describes a lot of the stuff that you're talking about right now. And it was just it's horrific.
Horrific. Yeah, it's very difficult to read. It's very difficult. Husband, if you're listening right now, ask your wife, if you were not in the picture, what would she do to feed her children? That is a loaded, dangerous question to ask, but history shows what would happen. We don't have to go down that path. We do not have to be ignorant, as many are. That's what the Scripture says. God does not want us ignorant of the times and seasons in which we live. He wants us to understand. And if we understand that, then we can do something about it. We can become proactive. Noah was proactive. Joseph was proactive. Noah wasn't looking for driftwood to hang on to. Joseph wasn't praying, God, fill my plate. They became proactive and saved their families because they did something before the judgment came in its earnest. And so we have that opportunity now to do the same thing. And if we reject it, I fear what will happen to those families and people when they reject God's goodness in allowing us, with knowledge of the Scripture, knowledge of history, to know what is coming.
And we talked about the pastors that have basically sat back and said little to nothing about abortion over the past 42 years. Do you think there's another dereliction of duty by the pulpits not encouraging congregants to start preparing for the dark days ahead?
Well, I think that the church in America is generally apostate. And it's not so much that you can't find a church that will preach parts of the Bible. They just won't preach the other parts of the Bible. And that makes you derelict, because the Bible says we should proclaim the whole counsel of God, the good and the bad, the things we want to hear, the things we don't want to hear. I want to hear how I'm going to get blessed, don't you? I want to hear all those things. I want to hear how the heavenly rewards are coming, and all those are fun things to hear. But do we want to hear the fact that we need to repent, that we need to live sanctified lives, that we need to give up our wickedness, that we need to stay in a marriage because God calls us to be there, and not abandon our family? Do we need to give up our sexual pleasures outside of marriage, you know, pornography, all these other things that attack the church? I mean, the reason pastors don't preach on that one subject is because they say 60% of them engage in it. So we need to, yes, to answer your question, they've been derelict, and it's not necessarily some that they do not preach good things. It's just they don't preach the whole counsel of God, and that's what we're required to do, is preach the whole counsel of God, the things that offend. The Bible tells us the gospel is an offense. It's an offense to my pride. It's an offense to my flesh. It tells me I am a sinner and that I need his grace daily, that I have no value in and of myself. The only thing I contribute to my salvation is a sin that makes it necessary. So, yes, that to answer your question, yes, we've been complicit in not proclaiming the whole counsel of God. I look at social media as the greatest tool in church history for outreach. You can literally reach people all over the planet with a gospel message. And what do most people do with it? Oh, I got my fingernails clipped today. I got my hair dyed. And I'm talking about Christian people. You have a media at your hands that proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that nothing else in human history could ever do. And we squander it.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. That's the end of the first half of my conversation with Bob Griswold of Ready Made Resources. Tune in next time for the rest of the show.
In the days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition. A global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits to endure the powers of darkness, which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.